to be American.
This is Democracy Optimist. Here's your host, Professor Joshua Douglas of the University of Kentucky Rosenberg College of Law.
It's a perennial problem in the world of voting rights, redistricting and gerrymandering. Every 10 years after the census, states must redraw their lines for Congress, state legislature, and even city council to comply with the Supreme Court's mandate of one person, one vote. Every district must have roughly equal population. There are other rules as well, such as compliance with the Voting Rights Act. And disputes over these issues often last the entire decade. In 2025, the Supreme Court is hearing a major case out of Louisiana that could gut the protections of the Voting Rights Act when it comes to minority representation. But this year, disputes over redistricting have gone into overdrive, as some states have engaged in what we call mid-decade redistricting, or re-redistricting. These states drew the lines for congressional seats back in 2021, which are supposed to last for the entire decade. But spurred by President Trump, Texas redrew its map to turn five seats that were more favorable to Democrats into ones more winnable for Republicans. In response, California put a measure on the ballot to redraw its own maps to make five Republican-leaning districts into Democratic ones. It's a race to the bottom with partisan gerrymandering run rampant. And it could have a major impact on which party controls Congress after the 2026 midterm elections. Missouri is also part of the fight, redrawing its map to split up the Kansas City area into several districts, which will likely flip one seat from Democratic to Republican. Lawsuits have predictably ensued. Here to discuss that mid-decade redistricting in Missouri and the litigation over the map is Denise Lieberman. She is the director and general counsel of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition, a nonpartisan organization that works to advance free, fair, and accessible elections in Missouri. She is also the faculty director of the Voter Access and Engagement Initiative at Washington University in St. Louis. Denise, welcome to Democracy Optimist.
Thank you for having me, Josh.
So let's first talk about the organization, Missouri Voter Protection Coalition. How did this come about, and what's the sort of work that you all are doing?
Well, for the last 20 years, advocates in Missouri have been coming together to protect our freedom to vote, starting with a passage of a strict photo ID requirement in the state in 2006 that led to litigation and led to the groups continuing to come together. We have now formalized into a permanent nonprofit organization in the state of Missouri, focused on ensuring that voting is free, fair, and accessible to all Missourians, with particular focus on communities whose voices are underrepresented in our democracy and who shoulder disproportionate burdens of discriminatory laws, practices, and policies.
Okay, so that's great background in terms of kind of the organization. And of course, you're involved now in the mid-decade redistricting fight going on in Missouri. So give us your perspective. How did this all come about? And actually, maybe more importantly, why should the everyday voter be concerned about what's going on?
Well, Josh, while redistricting can feel like challenging subject to talk about, everyday voters should be concerned because this affects your ability to be heard and to be represented fairly. And that's why redistricting matters, because the way that lawmakers draw district lines can have a tremendous impact on your political power as a voter and whether you and your community will be able to elect candidates that you believe represent your interests.
So Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe said when he signed this new map that splits up part of the Kansas City area into several districts that it actually better represents Missouri residents. Is he wrong?
Josh, Governor Kehoe is quite wrong on this point. The gold standard about how we draw district lines is really about keeping communities together. We talk about ensuring that intact communities have the ability, have enough structure in the way that lines are drawn, that they can actually elect representatives who represent their interests. What you've seen here in Missouri is taking an intact community like Kansas City and slicing it into three different congressional districts, preventing people in Kansas City from acting on some core values that make Kansas City what it is and that make their interests shared with other Kansas Cityans. And worse, this particular map not only slices Kansas City into thirds, but it does so along racial lines and places some Kansas Cityans in the same congressional district as farmers all the way across the state on the Illinois and Iowa border. And while all of us may share some core values as Missourians, it's certainly not hard to see that rural communities in eastern Missouri are going to have very different interests that they want their members of Congress to look at than urban residents in Kansas City, Missouri.
Now, the racial component you mentioned is really interesting because of how all of these things interact and how the really various attacks on voting rights and fair representation are coming from different angles. So as I mentioned in my introduction, the Supreme Court is hearing, U.S. Supreme Court is hearing a case out of Louisiana about racial representation. And, you know, most people, most experts think that the court is likely to strike down a key part of the Voting Rights Act, which had required fairness along racial lines when drawing new maps. So do you think that the Missouri legislators drew this map? Obviously, they knew the racial dynamics that were going into it. Did they, you think, assume that, well, the court's going to rule this way and so get this map in place when it's unlikely to be challenged, you know, the viability of a challenge under the Voting Rights Act is less likely?
Well, it's hard for me to surmise what the legislature's intent here is, because, in fact, lawmakers themselves didn't even have a hand in drafting this map. The bill sponsor himself admitted in committee hearings in both the House and the Senate that he wasn't able to answer questions about why lines were drawn in the way that they were drawn, and admitted he didn't understand the history of particularly Kansas City's African-American communities and some of the housing segregation that historically caused those committees to be racially segregated. Unfortunately, we are looking at the prospect of losing some key protections in the Voting Rights Act in the Khalid case that's coming up in front of the United States Supreme Court. But that doesn't make these maps any less problematic, and it doesn't make these maps any less violative of the core principles of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which are intended to ensure that the right to vote cannot be denied or abridged on account of race. And that's exactly what these new maps in Missouri do. By cutting through a key location in Kansas City, a street called Troost, which is an 11-mile stretch of road in Kansas City that is, United States Congressman Emanuel Cleaver testified to the legislature, is basically Kansas City's Mason-Dixon line. And that's because, Josh, prior to passage of the Fair Housing Act, it was illegal for African Americans to live west of Troost. And so the legacy of that housing segregation is precisely why these district lines and where they are to cut makes a really, really big difference in the ability of Kansas Cityans of color and Missourians of color to be able to elect candidates of choice. These lines were drawn precisely to eliminate that. You've got Kansas Cityans who have for 11 terms, reelected an 11-term congressman, the former mayor of Kansas City, the former chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, and that's who they targeted in order to strip him of his post.
So let's get into the weeds a little bit, because I think this stuff, as an election law professor, I think this stuff is so important for everyday voters to understand. And one of the things that's really interesting about the mid-decade redistricting that occurred in Missouri, in Texas, and the other states that are considering it is the potential violation of the one person, one vote idea. So One of the requirements anytime a legislature draws maps is it means that every district has to be roughly the same population. Each district has the same number of people. That way, it takes the same number of people to elect a representative from Congress in District 1 as it does in District 2. Of course, populations change throughout the decade. So it's a little bit of a fiction that it's absolutely equal in every election. It's not, but at least we start out with population equality. But here, Missouri used data from 2021, the census data from 2021, to redraw lines in 2025. How should we think about those equal population principles?
That's a great question, Josh, and really highlights the problem with mid-decade redistricting and makes clear that this was nothing but a political ploy to put their finger on the scale before a single vote is even cast in 2026. And they weren't even really obtuse about that intent. The key here is that we draw district lines to ensure, as you mentioned, that districts are roughly the same size. And how do we know that? Well, we get new data every 10 years from the U.S. Census that occurs every 10 years. And in fact, Missouri's Constitution also makes clear that lawmakers cannot recalibrate district lines without that data. In this case, no new data was provided to the state about shifting populations, even though we know that areas like Kansas City have seen a surge in population growth. Kansas City is a cool town, and lots of people are moving there. Yet we won't have that population data until the next census in 2030 that could actually end up giving Kansas City more representation, not less, like lawmakers did with these rigged maps.
We're talking with Denise Lieberman of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition, and just mentioned how Kansas City is a cool city and people are moving there. I can attest to that. I visited not too long ago and was really impressed with the revitalization of the downtown as compared to about a decade or so before the last time I had been there. You also mentioned the Missouri Constitution, and that brings up the lawsuits. So this map was passed. The governor signed it after pressure from President Trump to lots of Republican-controlled states to change the maps in an effort to try to ensure the Republicans win the midterms in 2026, and then Democratic states are doing this in response. Let's talk about the lawsuits in Missouri against this mid-decade redistricting. Walk us through some of the arguments in these cases.
Absolutely. There have been four lawsuits filed. I am counsel on one of those lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of mid-decade redistricting.
In other words, under the state constitution, right? Which,
yes,
I think is a really important point.
Yes, and that goes to your point about some of the challenges of bringing voting rights cases in federal court right now. In particular, here in Missouri, which is in a federal circuit called the Eighth Circuit, there are several cases where justices in the Eighth Circuit in federal court have found that voters themselves and their organizations that speak for them don't have standing to even bring claims that district lines violate the Voting Rights Act. Now, that's been stayed by the United States Supreme Court, and that's another issue that we're likely to see hit the United States Supreme Court this year. But it means that the courthouse doors are really closed to voters in states like Missouri to bring claims in federal court under the Voting Rights Act. And so we look to our state constitution, which actually includes provisions that provide stronger protection for voting rights than the federal constitution does. In particular, here, our state constitution sets up when district lines can be redrawn. And the language is clear that only when new census data is certified to the governor can lawmakers redraw those district lines. And that's in keeping with the core principle of ensuring that districts are around the same size. One person, one vote. And that's the basis on which my organization and several co-counsel have brought suit challenging these lines. But there are several other suits as well that also challenge the way that the maps were drawn, breaking up in tech communities like Kansas City and arguing that these in tech communities are being divided, that this map is not compact. Another core principle in drawing district lines is that you want districts to be relatively compact, that you are keeping people who live near each other in the same district, right? People who are in communities are part of the same district. Here you've got a congressional districts that span from Western Missouri all the way to Eastern Missouri and cover very widely differing swaths of populations in our state. That is most certainly not compact. And another lawsuit has also been filed arguing that the governor lacked the authority to call this special session in the first place, and that therefore anything that the legislature did in that session should be null and void. Calling legislators back into session after they've already adjourned is something that governors can do. But here in Missouri, the law makes very clear that that should happen only in extraordinary circumstances. For example, many folks know that the city of St. Louis, where I live, was hit with a very, very treacherous tornado in May that wiped out thousands of homes and left thousands of people without housing. The governor called legislators back into session for a special session in June so that they could allocate funding for tornado relief. That's an example of an extraordinary circumstance that can't wait till the legislature reconvenes in January. Here, there was no such emergency other than a political ask by President Trump to curry political favor.
So let's talk a little bit more about the lawsuit that you said you're bringing with respect to the timing of redistricting and the fact that the Missouri Constitution says you can only redraw the maps after you get the census data. And Missouri got that census data in 2021 and then drew the maps then. And so it's doing it again in 2025. There's the Missouri Supreme Court case from decades ago that says you can't draw the maps a second time, right? So shouldn't this be a pretty easy case?
You would think so. And we think that the Constitution is quite clear here that in stating that once that census data is certified, that's when the redistricting happens. And that has occurred already, as you mentioned. Lawmakers got the 2020 census data in early 2021, and they redrew those maps and approved them in 2022. So they already got that shot at the apple. They don't get a redo in 2025, particularly when lawmakers did get that census data in 2021. They rejected the very kind of map that lawmakers pushed through this special legislative session. And the only reason they were able to push it through, by the way, is by suspending the normal rules of conduct in the legislature, not allowing other legislators to even stand up and voice concerns or objections to how it was going forward.
Now, do you think judges, especially elected judges or judges at least that go before the voters for retention, however many years periodically, are they competent to render this kind of decision, or is it just going to look political to them as well?
Well, I think there's no doubt that this is nothing but a political theater happening here. And even the legislative sponsors wouldn't deny that. However, Missouri judges are put into place through what's called a nonpartisan court plan. And I would suggest that's one of the shining jewels of Missouri. A lot of folks don't realize, for example, that Missouri's constitution includes a fundamental right to vote, as you and I have discussed in the past. And a lot of people also don't know that our judges don't go through partisan elections like they do in other states. They are actually selected by a nonpartisan panel who assess their qualifications and recommend qualified judges to the governor. Now, the governor does have the final say in appointing those justices, but at least they have gone through a nonpartisan vetting process. Either way, Josh, this case is going to land at the Missouri Supreme Court, and that's who will have the final say on what Missouri's constitution requires. We are confident going in that the constitution is quite clear that these kinds of political antics are not acceptable under the Missouri Constitution, and for good reason, because without new census data, the only thing driving mid-decade redistricting then is political gerrymandering.
Now, in addition to the lawsuits, there's a movement on the ground for a ballot initiative to have the voters reject this. Give us a sense of what's going on the ground in a way that demonstrates this does affect everyday people.
It really affects everyday people, Josh. You know, as we were, the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition anchors the policy and legislative advocacy in Missouri on the right to vote. And once the special session was called, voters across Missouri expressed their firm displeasure. We called people to come to the Capitol in the middle of September, and we got 5,000 people to come to the Missouri Capitol to express their displeasure. In House and Senate legislative hearings, over 4,000 people submitted testimony opposing these measures and came to Jefferson City, Missouri, to express their displeasure with these activities. And in each of these cases, Virtually no one stood up and expressed support for these rigged maps. In fact, in the Missouri Senate, there was not a single witness who testified in favor of the maps. And so Missouri law provides for a citizen's ability to repeal legislation that's passed by the Missouri legislature. So the Missouri legislature passed these maps as a piece of legislation. And Missourians have 90 days to request that the voters consider repealing any piece of legislation that the legislature proposes. So in this case, Missouri citizens, as soon as legislators passed this map, began collecting signatures to place a repeal on the ballot. They have to collect signatures representing 5% of registered voters in 6 out of 8 Missouri's congressional districts, which means they have to collect over 117,000 signatures by early December in order to place this on the ballot. But given the widespread displeasure and discontent of this action amongst Missouri voters, this repeal is well on its way to getting on the ballot before Missouri voters, who we're confident will repeal this highly partisan and gerrymandered map offered by the Missouri's legislature.
And I often say on this show, democracy depends on we the people taking hold of it. And that's why I still, even given the some of the struggles we face, remain optimistic about the prospect for sustaining democracy if and only if we the people stay engaged. Denise Lieberman is the director and general counsel of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition, which you can find at movpc.org. Denise, thank you for joining Democracy Optimist.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Josh, that was a really interesting conversation you just had with Denise Lieberman. I know that you're writing an article on this very subject. Tell us a little bit about that. Give us a preview.
So many people don't realize that state constitutions have really robust rights that protect individuals. And this is a great example where we're not going to see the federal courts step in to prohibit a mid-decade redistricting done for partisan reasons. And that's because in 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a very important decision called Rucho versus Common Cause, in which the court said, we're staying out of partisan gerrymandering. Partisan gerrymandering is not the sort of thing that federal judges are competent to hear. Federal judges can't decide when politics has gone too far in drawing district lines. And there was a vigorous dissent in that case, but that is the rule from the U.S. Supreme Court. But the other thing the court said was that state courts might be an avenue to bring claims against partisan gerrymandering. And so what I thought was really interesting from our conversation with Denise, and it goes to the scholarship you mentioned, is I'm writing some new scholarship about how state courts should think about mid-decade redistricting. And the basic argument is that anytime a legislature draws a map in the middle of a decade, after they've already done it once, the court should adopt a presumption of unlawful partisanship. That is to say, the state constitution protects the people from the legislature taking a second bite at the apple when the only reason they're doing it is to try to gain some political advantage. Now, a presumption of partisan advantage does mean the state could say, look, we have a legitimate reason for redrawing the map. Think of a natural disaster that displaces a lot of people. Maybe the state wants to try to get back to equality in the districts when they know a ton of people have moved. But absent some real meaningful justification that's not political, my argument is that state courts should use their state constitutions and the more robust protection for voters in their state constitutions. And all states have these, by the way. State courts should use those state constitutional protections to strike down a mid-decade map unless the state has a very solid non-political reason for doing so.
Thanks for joining us for this series of conversations about how elections work, about the value of your vote, and about challenges to your right and freedom to make choices at your local polling place. Find our series online at democracyoptimist.com. Joshua Douglas, writer and host, Mike Savage, executive producer. I'm Tom Martin, your series producer. Neil Kesterson, technical director and sound designer. Democracy Optimist theme song, American, by Madeline Peru. Mason Graber and Stephen Dabney, research assistants, Caitlin Douglas, graphic designer, Ella Fitzgeraldine, studio dog. Democracy Optimist is a special Eastern Standard series produced by Dynamics Productions for Richmond, Kentucky-based public radio station WEKU.